Road barriers, guardrails and signs can reduce fatalities on the highway. They play an important part in road safety and driver recognition.
There was one area north of Telegraph Point, winding area, and we used old ferry ropes as part of the protection fencing, combined with chain wire protection fencing to stop people going off the road. The strange part about it is the new median separations around the motorways in the city are in fact the same sort of principle, with a wire rope which then grabs the vehicle and stretches gradually. Well, we were using that with old ferry ropes, and we actually caught a couple of vehicles because the chain wire stretched, the other stretched, so that you had a gradual change of momentum and energy, and instead of these vehicles careering down the mountain, they were actually caught like a catapult effect.
So you in fact pioneered this new system of, that they're using now?
No, I didn't. It was an accident because they wanted to use the old ferry rope somewhere, and this seemed like a good idea at the time.
Terry O'Brien is also concerned at the colour of road line marking.
Overtaking lines should be yellow, as in the American system of line marking, to indicate to people that there is the opportunity for people to come towards you. If you go over these yellow lines, a lane line in a dual carriageway looks exactly the same on a single carriageway as an overtaking opportunity. There was two Americans killed coming out of a service station just above Clybucca, and I'm sure that they weren't aware of the fact that this was a single carriageway and they went head-on into a semi-trailer.
I think the signage on the highway these days is very good. If you took a driver's viewpoint of a rural section of the Pacific Highway tonight versus a rural section of the Pacific Highway, I don't know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever, would be a vastly different view, because of a night time now you've got the cat eye markers in the centre and along the sides of the road, and so that if you put your headlights on high beam you've got this absolutely brilliant view of exactly where the road alignment is. In addition to that, of course, you've got the edge lines that are pretty well on the highway all the way. You've got the markings on the guideposts, and you've got chevron markers on sharp corners and reflective signs and all sorts of other bits and technology type, modern type stuff, and that's absolutely terrific. So that of a night time you've got a really clear view and a very clear picture of where the road goes. You've also got those fatigue rattle strip things along on the edge lines in places that have been tried. Whilst I know they're very expensive, they're going to save one fatality, and you've just saved probably $750,000 in indirect costs to you and I as a taxpayer.
Environmental considerations now play an important part in the planning process of the Pacific Highway. But in the 1960s, it wasn't so.
We didn't know what environment meant in those days. Any solution was an engineering solution. We didn't take environmental into consideration or consult with the public to say, well, this is what you want. We might talk with the local council, and generally that was just out of courtesy.
No environmental impact statements required?
No, no, none at all.
In the 60s and 70s, we didn't do any environmental assessment. You started building, and if you found something you didn't want to know about, you buried it, I guess was the philosophy of the world.
We did strike a couple of places down towards Roman Terrace there. We had to go through a couple of swamps, and so we had to drain the swamps in and start afresh.
Now, that would be a problem today, wouldn't it, with the environmental controls, would it, to drain a swamp?
It's different today than what it is when we was there, because there wasn't too much greenage around then. And we could knock trees over whatever we wanted to. But now you can't.
Strangely, we were one of the foremost in environmental matters. Even from the very early days when I started, we had a tree planting manual which set out what trees we could plant and why we couldn't cut down trees and all this. And the commissioners of the day were very stringent on that. In another part of the state where I was in charge of some roadworks, there was quite an expanse of tree clearing, and we had to personally answer to the commissioner why that went on, because we were destroying the environment. And this was back in the 70s. Even when they did the Pacific Highway and the Hawkesbury motorway, In those days, when they first did them, they had stilling ponds, they had straw bales to put into the streams, they regenerated the embankments, they sowed grasses. So they were very conscious of environmental matters.
More recently, with development of the EPNA Act, there's been a requirement to undertake progressively more thorough environmental assessment. The ones that the RTA produce are reputed to be of the highest quality, most comprehensive. I guess they represent a small cost compared to the overall infrastructure costs, and of course the road has a significant impact sometimes on the environment. So I guess there's a change of emphasis again from the slash and burn mentality of the 60s and 70s to one of being sensitive to the environment. We now employ in this region 3 full-time environmentalists that not only report on projects about to be built, they audit projects underway. We ensure that we're complying with the agreed procedures, and that's been a change with our in-house construction crews as well as with councils in delivering projects. It's impacted on contractors and how they do work. It's impacted on the subcontractors and how they do their earthworks and what they have to comply with. So it's flown through the whole industry.
The RTA can sometimes improve the environment where an environment's been seriously degraded over the years. And when a road system comes through, we plant native species, we provide compensatory habitat, we do an awful lot of things to try and live as much as we can within the environment we're in, and sometimes we can improve it. I mean, just face it, most of the environmental damage has been done by farming and agriculture over the years, as well as the road network. So we try to do our bit. And sometimes the only remnant vegetations that are left are on the road network.